What's up, everybody? This is Jalen Sword, aka Head Honcho, and I am back with another episode of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. Man, we got a lot to talk about today. Talk about some NFL action. I'm going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco. We're going to talk about the NFC. Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, they're playing great. They won 4 in a row. We're going to talk about them as well. We're going to talk about who's the best team in the AFC, Chiefs, Jaguars, Cincinnati. And we're going to talk about the downfall of the Buffalo Bills as well. And as far as the NBA, we're going to talk about a lot of teams, the Sixers, the Clippers, the Lakers. We're going to talk about some rookies and this rookie class in its entirety. And we're going to talk about top young guys in the league. And we might discuss the top five players at the end of the show. But let's get right into it. Let's start off with the NFL. And the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the defense for Dallas, the defense is always going to be there, right? The defense is always going to show up. They're going to show out. Michael Parsons and those boys, they're legit, right? So it all falls on Dak. He had a great game against the Philadelphia Eagles. They just came up short. And it was a back-and-forth game the entire way. And, you know, like I said, they just didn't get it done in the end. But the Eagles, I mean, they might be the best team in the NFL. It's between them and the Baltimore Ravens, in my opinion, or maybe Cincinnati as of now. And Jalen Hurts is playing well, dealing with that knee injury. Offensive line, it's been a little up and down, but overall, they're a solid unit. A.J. Brown, MVP candidate, in my opinion. I don't think the MVP award should be a quarterback award. I think it should go to anybody. You know, Tyreek Hill maybe could win it. A.J. Brown could win it. Christian McCaffrey could win it as far as guys that don't play the quarterback position. But, yeah, A.J. Brown's playing like an MVP candidate right now. And Devontae Smith filling in where he needs to. And Dallas Goedert, he's sidelined maybe 6 weeks with that forearm injury that he sustained on Sunday against Dallas. But they have a solid unit in Philadelphia, right? Especially that defense. That defense is real. Hassan Reddick, you know, Jordan Davis, Fletcher Cox, you have Brandon Graham, you have all those guys, N'Kobe Dean. It's just a solid unit. And Noah Smith Jr. as well, you know, the rookie. So Jalen Carter as well, another rookie. And Philly, once they just have to click, right? They just have to get off to a strong start. Jalen Hurts has to put the ball in the right spots. And it comes down to their offense to me. Because their defense is always going to be there, but the defense is always on the field. But naturally, is going to give up points. You know, everyone knows that if you actually watch football. Defense can't be on the field too long. So Jalen Hurts has to do what he can to essentially get this team over the hump. You know, last season they lost in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. So he has to do what he needs to do, and they could have won that game. But now he has to limit mistakes, do what he needs to do to get Philly back to that point, because Dallas is in your way and San Fran is in your way, even though San Fran has dropped 4 straight games, I believe. But I mean, San Fran is still a great team. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm talking about Christian McCaffrey. You still have, you know, Debo Samuel. I think he's coming off injury. You still have George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. You still have weapons on offense. Brock Purdy's playing solid football. He's inconsistent at times, but I think he can be the guy to lead them to the Super Bowl because of all these weapons, right? If he didn't have weapons, then it'd be a completely different story. But Brock Purdy, him having weapons, he has what it takes. All he has to do is not turn the ball over, get the ball to guys that can make plays, like I mentioned, all those weapons. And it's that simple for San Fran, right? Kyle Shanahan in that offense, he makes it real simple for a guy like Brock Purdy. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's very accurate with the ball. Make solid decisions. Like I said, he may be inconsistent at times with his decision making, and he may turn the ball over, as we've seen in recent weeks. But overall, I think San Fran will be fine. You know, with that defense, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, you know, anchoring that defense. Those two linebackers, they're great linebackers, and San Fran has a great history with linebackers, with Patrick Willis, and you know, guys like that. But and Navarro Bowman as well. I forgot to mention him. But San Fran, man, I like them. I picked them to come out of the NFC this season because last season I really believed that they had a chance to win that game against Philly if Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt. They went through 4 quarterbacks the entire season, I believe. 4, maybe 5. So if Brock Purdy didn't get hurt, maybe they win that game. You never know against Philly. But yeah, I think they'll be fine. You know, they have the Jags this week. The Jags have won, I believe, 5 in a row. And that's going to be a great game for both teams, right? They're going to see where they measure up against great offenses like the Jags have. I'm going to talk about them in a minute. And San Fran, they got to get out of this hole, right? You got to win. You got to win a game. You got to just chip away and start fresh. Like, throw all of those weeks out and just start fresh right now. Lock in and do what you need to do to win this game. But moving to the AFC, it's a lot of teams that can come out of the AFC, man, who actually can compete with Kansas City. Because you have to go through Kansas City. Everyone knows that. Kansas City is going to be there at the end. You have to go through them to get the job done. So Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, he's playing great right now, looking like one of the best quarterbacks in football again. At worst, he's a top three quarterback in the NFL, point blank. At worst. Top two at best. He's competing with Patrick Mahomes at his best, being number one, right? Cincinnati, that defense, they're stepping up. Joe Mixon on that offensive unit. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase looking like one of the best wide receivers in football, if not the best, with Justin Jefferson being out. He's looking like the best right now, along with Tyreek Hill. But Cincinnati, man, they're a scary team. And I personally would be a little on edge playing a team like Cincinnati, because they're playing great right now, but it can all switch, right? You have a team that's been inconsistent this season. As of late, they've been consistent. They won four straight, so they're getting there, right? They're kind of turning that corner, as a unit, as a team, right? So I would be a little shaky facing a team like Cincinnati, because they're hot right now, and it can all switch. It can all just go downhill. It can go back uphill. You know, they're up and down team. And a team like that, you have to stay a little bit more consistent, in my opinion, to get over that hump against a team like Kansas City. You can't start off the way you started off this season. And Kansas City, by no stretch of imagination, has looked like the Kansas City Chiefs. That offensive unit is not really firing on all cylinders. Wide receivers can't get separation, things like that. Patrick Mahomes has to do more than what he needs to do to get those guys in the right positions and get the ball in the right spots. He only really has Travis Kelce and his running back to throw to, because the wide receivers aren't really getting that type of separation and that type of, you know, they're not really having those type of games that Patrick Mahomes would want out of them. And so, yeah, Cincinnati's been playing great, though. They have a chance to be the top dog in the AFC with Kansas City playing this way, along with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, Trevor Lawrence, that offensive unit is great. Travis Etienne, Calvin Ridley, with those guys, they've just capitalize on this opportunity of getting a guy like Calvin Ridley. You know, he was out all last season with the gambling issues and the suspension, and Trevor Lawrence was happy to get him. And I think with that weapon that Trevor Lawrence has and Ridley, that's just, he's the best receiver on that team, one of the best receivers in the league, maybe top five. He's tremendous, and he gets great separation. His footwork is crazy. He has that speed burst in open field. He can make plays. Yards after the catch is crazy. He's just amazing, right? And that's what Trevor Lawrence needed. He needed that number one guy. So now that they have him, Jacksonville has been playing great. They may challenge teams like Cincinnati, like Kansas City in the AFC, like Miami. Miami's up there too, with Tua and Tyreek and that whole offensive unit. That offense is great. Mike McDaniel has been tremendous coaching this season. So it's tough in the AFC right now. Those three teams, like I said, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville, and you have Miami in there as well. And let me talk about those Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson has been having the most quietest season, but he's been great, leading the league in completion percentage. He's been tremendous, right? He's having one of those MVP caliber seasons, but it's very, very quiet though. He hasn't really exploded for anything, hasn't really shocked anybody. You know, in recent weeks, they're just winning games, right? They're stacking wins. The defense is great. Patrick Queen, that linebacker. Have Roquan Smith as well, former Bear. He's great. They're just, that defense is solid, right? You know, John Harbaugh has, you know, led that locker room and galvanized those guys to actually believe that they can win every game. And they can, right? With a guy like Lamar Jackson. So Baltimore, they may be the second best team in the NFL right now. Cincinnati maybe third. Kansas City maybe fourth. Jacksonville maybe fifth. You know, the Eagles might be first or second. Swap them out with Baltimore, either or, in my opinion. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens and who surprises who. And let's talk about Buffalo really quick. Buffalo, they might be done. And I'll just say it simply put, they might be done. Josh Allen, he may have peaked in the last 2-3 seasons, playing Kansas City, playing Cincinnati, and losing in the division round in the AFC Championship games. Stephon Diggs isn't really happy, you know, with he hasn't really been getting a lot of touches, hasn't really been getting the ball thrown to him a lot. He's been frustrated during the games as well. And that, I don't know, man. Sean McDermott, I don't know what direction this team is going in. They're you see them 1 week and they look like the best team in football. You see them next week and they look like, you know, a bottom tier team in the AFC. And you don't want to see that, right? Especially from a guy like Josh Allen. He's top three in the league at quarterback. So that's I don't know, man. Buffalo, I picked them the last 2 seasons. I picked Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. Last season, I picked them the year before that. And I might have picked them the year before that as well. This coming into the season, I thought that, I believe I said San Francisco would win the Super Bowl. I believe. And I'm sticking to that pick. You know, even though they lost 4 straight, I'm sticking to San Francisco going to win the Super Bowl. But yeah, Buffalo, I don't know, man. I just don't know how that unit kind of bounces back from these type of performances against a team like Cincinnati. They lost against Cincinnati on Sunday night. I don't know where you go from that, you know, and Josh Allen has to be better. He's leading the league in interceptions right now with 9. He has to play better, simply put. And a team like Buffalo is just too good to have those type of mistakes. They lost Tremaine Edmonds, granted. You know, James Cook has been playing good football for them, the running back there. And they just need more. They need more. They need consistency. And it starts with the quarterback. So, yeah, I don't know about Buffalo. But overall, like I said, San Francisco is my pick to win the Super Bowl. Dallas is solid. They just need to lock in on what they're good at and those weapons that they have. They signed Martavius Bryant a few days ago, maybe yesterday. They need to get Brandon Cooks the ball more. But, yeah, overall, man, this NFL season has been great so far. And hopefully, you know, we see some shockers down the way, and especially in the playoffs as well. But let's move to the NBA. Let's talk about this rookie class first. This rookie class with Thompson twins, Asur and Amen Thompson, Julius Strother from Denver, the Denver Nuggets, Marcus Sasser from Detroit, Bumby as well, Chet. This rookie class, they don't play like rookies. And that's shocking to say because they don't really make the rookie mistakes. They play solid basketball. They have poise. They don't get sped up. The Thompson twins, I can already tell that they're going to be two of my favorite players in the league. Obviously, they're not the best in the league, but they're going to be two of my personal favorite players in the league. And let me tell you why. One, both play hard. They play extremely hard, and they both defend really well. They have energy. They're young. They just have a knack for defending the basketball, right? And they can score the ball as well. They're very athletic. You know, they're going to be two great wings in this league for years to come. And they're having a great rookie season so far. So they play hard. They can score. They're energetic. They're just, it's a lot to like about those guys. They have the right mindset. They really work hard. I heard that they stay in the gym all the time. They work out together. They don't work out with anyone else but each other. So those guys, they're great. And Detroit and Houston have two great players in those twins, and I hope they hold on to them. Especially that in both of those situations are great for them, by the way, because Houston, coach like Ime Udoka, they brought in Fred VanVleet for some veteran leadership. They have just a young group: Jabari Smith Jr., Alfred Sengun, one of the Thompson twins. You have guys, right? You have a unit that can be great in maybe 3 or 4 years. You have a solid unit. If they keep those guys together and actually build them up and teach them the right things and teach them the right way to win, maybe they can be something in Houston. And the same way in Detroit, they have a great coach in Monty Williams. Kate Cunningham has been playing great. You have Isaiah Stewart, one of the best bigs, one of the best young bigs in the league. Jalen Duren, one of the best young bigs in the league. You have pieces. Killian Hayes, Jaden Ivey coming off the bench. I think he should be starting over Killian Hayes. Then you have the Thompson twins as well. Like, you have pieces, and you have a guy like James Wiseman who hasn't really been playing good basketball, but you still have them coming off the bench, and Marvin Bagley as well. You have those pieces in Detroit and Houston. They can be great teams in 3 to 4 years if they keep that core together. It's going to be tough, especially if one guy is playing great and the other guys aren't playing great, or two or three guys are playing tremendous basketball. You can't give them all the max, right? But I mean, hey, we'll see what happens. And I think they're in the same kind of boat as Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City has a great young team. Shea, Jalen Williams. Who else is in OKC? Josh Giddey, Chet, Lou Dort. You have that unit. They're tough, man. So I think Houston, Detroit, OKC are going to be some solid teams in 3 to 4 years, man, if they keep those guys together. But the Sixers, let me talk about the Sixers really quick. The Sixers, they made the traded James Harden to LA, to the Clippers. I'm going to talk about the Clippers a little later. Made the trade. They got Nick Batum, Robert Covington. They got someone else too, I believe. And they got, I think, pick swaps or something like that. I honestly believe that the Sixers are better without James Harden. And the main reason, there are a lot of reasons, but the main reason is because of that number zero for in Philadelphia, Tyrese Maxey. Man, Tyrese Maxey is one of my favorite personal players, man. Personally, he's one of my favorite. Like, he is a walking bucket. He gets straight to it, has a lot of counters in his game. He doesn't really play with the ball that much. He can shoot the ball. Like Gilbert Arenas said, he's a shooter that knows how to score. And he plays the game hard, right? He knows what he needs to do. And Nick Nurse has already given him the green light. Nick Nurse said he needs to take at least 15 shots, 20 shots a game. And I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. You know, he's too talented of a player to not take those type of shots, that many shots. And he's proven that he can score the ball against the elite defenders. I believe he had two or three straight 30-point games start the season. So I think he could average close to 25 points a game alongside Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's going to average close to 30 again if he really wants to be dominant. You know, Joel Embiid kind of holds himself back. So if he really wants to be dominant, it's all up to Joel Embiid. If he really wants to do that, he could average close to 35 points a game if he really wanted to, if he had that type of motor all season. I don't think he's going to do that because he's just not that type of player. And we have to accept that now. But he's going to average close to 30. And Tyrese Maxey can average close to 25 points a game with getting those type of shots and playing off of Joel Embiid, because the ball still has to go through the big fella. And that's just the way it is. Nick Nurse has said that. So Philly is better. They have vets in that locker room now. Nick Batum, like I said, Robert Covington, they know how to play basketball. And that entire team is centered around Joel Embiid. And when you have it, they can be, obviously they're going to be top three in the East. I don't think they're good enough to beat a team like Boston or Milwaukee, but they're still better than what they were last year, in my opinion. So, you know, moving forward for Philly, I just don't know, what do they need to get over the hump? I think they need another star, because I don't know. Because if you bring another star in, he's gonna be bigger than the name. His name is gonna be bigger than Tyrese Maxey's name, and his name is gonna get him more shots, right? If you bring in a guy like Zach LaVine is most likely gonna take more shots than a guy like Tyrese Maxey. Bringing DeMar DeRozan from the Bulls, he's gonna take more shots than Tyrese Maxey, because that situation in Chicago, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. That situation for the Bulls is just, I don't know what's going on in Chicago. I really don't. You know, it's like we're playing for nothing. You know, we're not going to do anything. We just have star players, and we're not going to go anywhere. We have DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, and we're just not going to do anything with it. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, if the Philadelphia 76ers get another star, he's going to take more shots than Tyrese Maxey, and that kind of puts Maxey in like a shell that he was in when James Harden was there. So I don't think that's the best option, but they need something else to get over that hump to beat teams like Boston and Milwaukee. And let's talk about the Clippers. I don't know how that's going to work. You know, there's a lot of unknowns in the NBA right now with certain teams. The Clippers, they're going to start James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Zubac. That five, I don't know who's going to play the four. Maybe Kawhi Leonard plays the four. Maybe Paul George plays the four. But when you go up against teams that have big fours, man, I don't know. When you go up against teams that are playing big, like Milwaukee, like, you know, maybe, and obviously Minnesota's not going to be in the championship picture, but teams like Minnesota, when they're playing Cat and Rudy Gobert, when you have those type of teams, those big teams, I don't know, like, how that is going to work. Ty Lue kind of runs a five-out offense, kind of a motion offense. And James Harden, I don't know how he fits into that, because when he has the ball, or Russell Westbrook has the ball as well. I was watching James Harden debut in Madison Square Garden. And when Russ had the ball, everyone's just standing. Russ is in the post, everyone's just standing. And they have to move, right? You have to get movement with that type of lineup out there. Because Zubac is going to stay in the paint. We know that. Kawhi has to back cut. Paul George has to cut. James Harden may have to flash the three-point line. There has to be movement, right? And I don't know if with James Harden there, I don't know if it's going to be enough movement in that offense for it to work, because James Harden is kind of ball dominant, a lot of dribbling, pick and roll. He likes to slow the game down to his pace. And like he mentioned, he is a system. It was facts in that statement, right? He's a system, essentially. So he likes to slow the pace down. Russ likes to speed it up. You know, and I think they have to kind of just play, just take turns. You have to play about how the game's going, right? You have to just kind of say, you know what? You got to go in tonight. Here, you get it. Or you got to go in tonight. Here, you take it. You know, and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they're great players, so they're going to fit in where they need to fit in. Especially a guy like Paul George. Paul George is a great shooter. He can spot up. Kawhi Leonard is a great shooter. He can spot up. So I don't know how the shot attempts are going to look. I just don't know, man. The Clippers have a unique situation. Shot attempts, I don't know. Paul George, I don't know how many shots he's going to take. They were all taking, before James Harden got there, Russ was kind of taking maybe 14, 15 shots. Paul George was taking 14, 15. Kawhi Leonard maybe 15 to 20. Like, I don't know how that changes when now that James Harden's in the picture. Especially against teams, and even in the West, like Sacramento, a young team, they move the ball, they cut, they're energetic, they really play hard under Mike Brown. Golden State, they know what they're doing. They're going to cut. They're going to run. They're going to move. The Lakers, they're going to get up and down. Even with LeBron playing the 21st season, he still gets up and down the floor with ease, right? So I don't know how you play against teams like that. Younger teams that can get out and run when you want to slow the game down like James Harden wants to do. But as far as the Lakers, Anthony Davis is injured. I believe he injured his groin or something like that. Man, I don't know. This guy is I, you know what? Here's the thing. He needs pads everywhere. He needs thigh pads, knee pads, butt pads, elbow pads, shoulder pads. He needs every type of pad you can think of. This guy is so fragile, and I'm not taking shots at the guy. He's just playing not to get injured sometimes, some nights. When he's playing aggressive and just going and grabbing rebounds and just diving in there and just trying to dunk everything, and it seemed like he doesn't want to do that because he's scared to get injured. And he messed up his groin against Miami. So with him being out now, I don't know how many weeks he's going to be out. I don't know. But with him being out, I think he tried to come back into that game later in the, I think maybe fourth quarter, third quarter. But with him being out now, someone has to step up. Bron is in the 21st season. We all know that. He can't do what he used to do. He can't, you know, if it was me, if I'm the coach of the Lakers, I'm not playing LeBron more than 35 minutes a night. I'm not doing it. I believe he played 37 to 38 against Miami, the game that Anthony Davis got injured. He played 37 or 38 against them, and I'm not playing him more than 35 minutes a game. 21st season, he has a lot of miles on his body. He takes care of his body really well. I'm just not doing that because I don't want him to be burnt out by the time the playoffs come. So in the regular season, Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, all of those guys need to score the ball. Defend and score. Take some pressure off LeBron. LeBron is LeBron. He averaged almost 30 a game last year. in his 20th season. So I want LeBron to average maybe 24 points a game. 24, 23, 24, 25 points a game. He's going to average his 20. A perfect stat line for LeBron and the Lakers. 23, 24, 25, 8, and 8. That's all LeBron needs. And that's all the Lakers need from him. Anthony Davis should average 30. Simply put, 30 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, maybe 5 or 4 assists. He shouldn't really pass the ball that much. The offense needs to go through him. LeBron mentioned a lot of times that he wants to give the keys to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis needs to snatch the keys and just be like, hey, this is my team. I'm going to lead us, right? D'Angelo Russell needs to average 20 points a game. Simple as that. He needs to average 20. Austin Reeves needs to average maybe 17, 18 points a game. Rui Hachimura needs to come in and average maybe 15, 16 points a game. Maybe 14, you know, coming off the bench. And I think he should be starting, but I think Darvin Ham wants to give some juice to that bench unit. But, and Jared Vanderbilt's coming back as well. So they have pieces. They just need to put it all together. And LeBron can't be the head of the snake anymore. It has to be Anthony Davis. And once he comes back from injury, I think the Lakers know it. I think internally they know that Anthony Davis needs to be the leader and he needs to take control. He's just not doing it. He's too inconsistent. He should be benching in the top five conversation with guys like Kevin Durant, Giannis, Nikola Jokic. He should be mentioned in that conversation, but he's just not, because he's just not on the floor that much, and he's inconsistent when he is on the floor. But I think the last two things I'll talk about is the Miami Heat situation, where LeBron said he'll be the same player if he didn't go to the Heat. And I completely agree with that. He would be the same dominant player. He probably wouldn't have as many championships. Matter of fact, he probably would have the same amount or more, because him, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh were going to team up anyway, regardless of where they went. They were going to go to New York, and James Dolan, he signed Amari Stoudemire before he signed anybody else, because he didn't know what LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh were going to do. So he just said, you know what, I'm going to cut my loss, and I'm going to sign Amari, because this is the for sure thing right now. And LeBron was like, Dwayne Wade called LeBron, was like, hey, what are you going to do? LeBron said, let's all team up in Miami. They went to Miami, they win championships. That had nothing to do with the system in Pat Riley. Nothing. The Miami system, like Gilbert Arenas said on Gil's, the Miami system is kind of, it's not a fluke, because they actually get the best out of their players. They work hard. They're like a hard-nosed type of franchise, which I respect that. But they didn't build their championships from the ground up. In 06, when they won the championship, they got guys like Shaquille O'Neal, Gary Payton, Antoine Walker, got guys like that, Jason Williams as well. They got guys and they won the championship. They bought them, right? And in 2010, when they got LeBron, signed Chris Bosh, kept Dwayne Wade, and brought in Mike Miller, and they won the championship, right? So when you look at it like that, the Miami's, you know, the Miami aura and the kind of system, the culture that Miami brings, had nothing to do with LeBron and, you know, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. They would have been the same players regardless. They would have won championships as well. And last thing I want to talk about, guys, before we end the show, Anthony Edwards is a top 10 player in the league. He might be better than Devin Booker. He might be better than Jason Tatum, but he's top 10 right now. He locked up Jason Tatum in the final moments of the game they played against Boston 2 nights ago. He's a scorer. He's efficient. He has that mindset of like, can no one stop me? He's the type of guy that you want on your team and you want to build your franchise around. So I think he's going to be one of the best players in the league maybe in 2 years, because of what he brings to the game and how efficient he is offensively and his athleticism as well. He's like a taller, more athletic D-Wade, right? And hopefully the world recognizes him, and hopefully he can win an MVP. You never know. He can win MVP, you know, next season, 2 years. There's too many players in the league to say, but he might get it done. But that's all for today's episode, guys. I'm going to link my Instagram and Twitter in the description, as always. I'm Taylor Short, a.k.a. Head Honcho, and I will see you guys next week. Peace out.